Today is the third of four talks that I'm doing this month. Those of you who have been here know that, called the Self-Talk Series, about how the language that we use every day is not only an indication of what we believe, it actually contributes to the creation of the experiences that we have and the life that we live. So that means whenever we are whining or complaining or criticizing what we think is happening around us, instead of avoiding whatever it is or insulating ourselves from it, we end up becoming more and more a part of it. Whenever we react in fear or in anger, or when we talk about how bad things are or how horrible someone is, even though we think that we are simply being observant, watching what they're doing, we are actually reinforcing a negative attitude. We're reinforcing a negative consciousness in us that's only going to attract to us more and more of the things we don't like. That's what we believe based on the song Catherine just sang. Now, needless to say, this is not what most of the world believes. Even though a large percentage of people in the world are frequently negative or happy, you hear it all the time, and even though a large number of people are constantly critical about the government, about the economy, about their family, about their job, about their health, among other things, they don't realize most of the time that they are being negative. That's their first mistake. And they don't believe for a moment that what they say has anything at all to do with what is happening to them. And that's their second mistake. Because one important spiritual principle that we all live under, whether we recognize it or not, is something called the law of correspondence. Now, you may not have heard of it, but Dr. Holmes talks about it. It's the law of correspondence. And that's the spiritual law that says our outside will always correspond with our inside. That's basically what it says. That's why it's important for us to understand that instead of our words simply describing what is, our words describe what we believe, and what we believe becomes what is around us. Not only that, the more conviction we put into our words, the more powerful they are, and the more strongly they affect our experience. That's something else. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about how we talk about our work and our own creative abilities. We talked about how a lot of people complain about their work or their boss or their clients or their coworkers. And we also discussed how we talk about our limitations related to work. We talked, for example, about things we wish that we could do or what we can't do because of our age or our education or our lack of experience. But what we fail to notice when we're talking this way is that the people who talk this way the most are almost always the people who are not moving forward. It is. It's very, very interesting. These are the people who are talking this way who are usually not getting promoted. They aren't moving to better jobs. They aren't seeing an increase in their income. And they are not happy during the one-third of their life that they spend on the job. Meanwhile, those people who are not talking this way, those people who are not always talking about things or people that bother them or the challenges that they deal with at work, those people are almost always growing and prospering, not to mention enjoying themselves, whether they're at work or at home. And you can easily identify these people, the positive ones, because you frequently hear them saying things like, "I love my job," which was our affirmation for the first week. Then last week, I talked about body image and health. And we talked about how most people are not happy with the body they have, so they criticize it or they overwork it, trying to make it look like what other people tell them their body should look like. So they may starve themselves or overexercise or go under the knife sometimes because they think that the world doesn't really know who they are, when the real problem is that they don't know who they really are. Because if they did know who they really were, which is a spiritual being here in this physical form, they might still watch what they eat, they might work out every day, they might even get a little nip and tuck now and then, but they would do it for a different reason. They would do it for fun instead of doing it out of fear that somebody wouldn't like them if they don't do it. We also talked last week about our frequent conversations with people that express our fear of disease and our fear of getting old. And we ended up last week by pointing out that probably the healthiest thing that we can do is to talk positively about the things that are in our heart instead of talking about all the bad things that we're afraid might happen to our body. And one way we can do this is to reach a place in consciousness where we can get into the spiritual habit where we can honestly and consistently say to anyone who asks, "I feel terrific." That was our affirmation for last week. Now, today we're going to talk about prosperity and the way we talk about prosperity. And that includes things like money and stuff. That's what most people think of as prosperity. But it also is going to include our attitude and the things we say about our own personal safety and security in a world that sometimes appears to be extremely dangerous. And if you've been watching the news over the last week or two, that's been an excellent example of why this is important. Because even those of you who refuse to look at the news because it always seems to be so negative, how many of you out there try to keep away from the news as much as you can? More and more people are doing that. We do it, obviously, because it always seems to be so negative. But even those of you that have been trying to avoid it have probably been able to... You have probably been unable to avoid even hearing a little bit about all the stuff that's been going on in the financial markets in the U.S. and worldwide. The stock market's been going all over the place, 500 up one day, 400 down the next day, or vice versa, whatever it is. The dollar's going up and down like a yo-yo. Banks that have been around for over 100 years are closing. And the political leaders of both parties, not just the president and the candidates and all the other people, but Congress and everybody else, instead of trying to calm people down, which would probably help, they seem to be blaming each other and exaggerating the problem until nobody's able to eat, sleep, or talk about anything but how bad things are and how bad it can get before it's over. Now, personally, I try not to listen to it, but I go to a health club almost every morning, and guess what's playing on the television every morning at the health club, okay? CNBC, all right? And everybody in the locker room is watching it. The retirees are sitting in front of it saying, "Oh my God, this," and they're all trying to outdo each other in the gloom and doom department. So I have decided I'm going to start working out with earplugs, and I'm going to put them in my ears when I leave the house and not take them out till I get home. Now, the reason this is all so frustrating to those of us who believe and understand the stuff that we talk about here all the time is that there is absolutely no reason why all of this stuff should be happening. You know, because we do not have a shortage of money. We do not have a shortage of value. What we have going on is a shortage of spiritual awareness and common sense. That's what we've got a shortage of. You know, that's all we've got a shortage of. We seem to have forgotten so very quickly the abundance that was apparent just a few short years ago. And where did that come from? It came out of nowhere, just like this stuff. We've forgotten that good ideas are only a thought away. We've forgotten that. And we have forgotten that both value and lack of value only exist in one place, and that is in the consciousness of the people who are involved in whatever transaction is going on. Now, the sad thing is, until we manage to get back to center, and each one of us is going to have to do it for ourselves and then help each other, sort of like the flight attendant, you know, put the mask on yourself first. Okay, raise your consciousness and then start helping the people around you. That's what we need to do. We need to get back to center until we can remember that the free flow of money is the only thing that increases the amount of money. That's a basic principle of prosperity. And until we remember this, we can all continue sitting around, as so many people are, holding tightly on to what is ours, talking about how afraid we are that we might lose what we have. That's what's going on in the world. Now, there is some good news, but the bad news is that the good news is not going to help everybody. All right? And this is what I mean. Now, the good news could help everybody, but it probably won't. Because the good news is, even in the most severe financial downturn, there are people who are doing just fine. There really are. I know some of them, and so do you. I'm one of them. I'm doing great. And I don't just mean the people at the top that may be taking unfair advantage of the confusion in the markets, because that's just another negative way of thinking. I mean there will always be people at every level of society, at every level of the financial pyramid, who are providing value to their customers or their clients or their company, and these people will always, always reap the rewards of the consciousness that they're expressing in whatever it is they're doing, that they're doing. Once again, pay attention. These are not the people who are going around whining about the economy. These are not the people going around talking about how the people in Washington got us into this mess. And these are not the people who are walking around telling everyone how they have to cut back because they can't afford to give the way they used to give or live the way they used to live. That's not the people that are moving ahead. The people who are prospering today in this economy, who are also, by the way, the people who are going to lead us out of it eventually, these are the people who realize that money is not a limited substance given only to a chosen few. These are the people who see money as God in action. Raymond Charles Barker said that, one of my metaphysical heroes. Money is God in action. These are people who talk about money respectfully. They use money intelligently, and they enjoy it consistently. These are people who recognize that the movement of money is going to ebb and flow just like the tide does. You know, I talk about it in class. You get people where the tide is coming in and they're going, oh my God, here comes the ocean, we're all going to drown. And then the tide goes out and they go, oh my God, the ocean's disappearing, we're all going to die. And every 6 hours they do this, back and forth and back and forth. You know, think of this when you're watching the news, all right? These people recognize that that's the natural movement of money, but it moves out and in, but it never goes away. So they do not express anger when they don't have it, and they don't go crazy when they do. They do their best to do one of the most spiritual things we can ever do, which is to stay in balance, to stay in balance. Now, they balance their checkbook. They balance their income with their expenses, but most important of all, they maintain a balanced consciousness. They maintain a balanced consciousness. And they're smart enough to realize that the way they talk about money, that the way they talk about the economy, and the way they talk about their own finances is an important part of maintaining that balance. The more we talk about it, the more out of balance we get. Now, people say funny things about money. And if you go into a book of quotations, as I almost always do with my talks, and there's some wonderful ones out there, you can find some really great examples of good and bad things that people have said about money through the years. I want to give you a couple of them. One of them was a populist politician at the turn of the last century by the name of William Jennings Bryan. You ever hear of him back in history? Okay. And he once said, while running for office, this is a quote, he said, "No one can earn $1 million honestly." No one can earn $1 million honestly. Now, he was known as an honest politician, which is probably why he did not die a millionaire, all right? Because honest people don't get $1 million. On the other hand, there was another gentleman during the same time period by the name of John D. Rockefeller. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Sure. And he made a statement in an interview, "I believe the power to make money is a gift from God given to all." Wonderful. And we all know how he ended up, all right? So he did pretty well. Now, you may not like him as a person. There were a lot of reasons not to like him, but you can't argue with his financial success. That's why another area where we need to watch what we say about prosperity and money is in the way we talk about ourselves and our ability to attract abundance. Now, in the years, the dozen or so years that I have been in this teaching, doing what I'm doing, I've counseled a lot of people who have no trouble at all believing that money is good and that we live in a prosperous universe. They got that stuff down cold. Their problem was, for some strange reason, they didn't believe that they deserved to participate. They had that locked in. Maybe they got it from their parents. Who knows where it came from? And that's always an interesting problem to deal with because, once again, they don't have a money problem. They have a consciousness problem. Only in this case, it's a consciousness that believes more in lack than abundance. It's a consciousness that believes that some people are meant to be prosperous while others are not. Now, I've always wondered, why would anyone believe something that ridiculous? That some people are meant to be rich and some people are meant to be poor? Well, it kind of comes down to a matter of choice. Because we choose what we consciously or unconsciously focus on. We really, really do. We choose what we look at in the world, we choose who we listen to, and we choose what we talk about. So people who believe more in lack than abundance tend to look at the glass as half empty. They look closely at all the poverty in the world to use as evidence to support their belief. They listen carefully to people who talk negatively and dramatically about all the financial problems in the world, and they work very hard to learn all of the facts so that they can justify all the reasons why they themselves don't have any money. But worst of all is they talk about these things every single chance they get. Every single chance they get. On the other hand, what you never hear them talking about is the real reason why they are not prosperous, which is because they keep talking about the fact that they're not. It really, really is. That's how it works. Now, the interesting thing is, and I love this from a spiritual viewpoint because consciousness always works. The interesting thing is, the law is still working for them the same way it's working for the people who have money. It's the same law working the same way. The universe is giving them exactly what they believe. Exactly what they believe. So when they say, "I don't have any money," the universe says, "He doesn't have any money." Pretty smart universe, all right? The universe does not say, "Poor guy, he doesn't have any money, I guess I'll give him some," okay? That's not what the universe does. Because the universe is intelligent, but it is not presumptuous. It's intelligent, but it's not presumptuous. In other words, the universe does not presume that just because we don't have any money, we still want some. The universe presumes that we are smart enough to use the consciousness that we have to get a prosperity consciousness if we choose, so the universe can actually start responding to our consciousness with prosperity. That's what it presumes, all right? You see, when it comes to money, there is no limit set by God. God doesn't use money, doesn't have pockets, doesn't care if we've got it or not. It really, really doesn't. We have the opportunity to create it if we desire. In fact, we can have as much as we want. That's why Dr. Eric Butterworth, the great Unity minister in New York for a number of years, in his book Spiritual Economics, which is a classic, he said in there, and this one sentence is worth the price of the book and then some, he says, "We are never more than a single idea away from all the wealth we can imagine." We are never more than a single idea away from all the wealth we can imagine. But we have to ask for it. And when I say ask for it, I mean ask firmly, not, "Please, God, can I have some extra money?" I mean really ask for it. Demand it. We have to be willing to accept it when it shows up, and we have to stop telling other people and ourselves that we still don't have it, because prosperity is not going to show up here where we are until it shows up here in our mind. Now, fortunately, we don't have to make this mental and spiritual transformation all by ourselves. There are all sorts of books and classes and seminars and teachers all over the place. You can take classes here on prosperity. Many of you have. But what we need to remember about that is all of these classes, all of the good ones, say exactly the same thing. Nobody has a secret answer on how to get rich or a magic bullet on how to do it. Not Harv Eckert and the Millionaire Mind, or Edwin Gaines, or Catherine Ponder, or Creflo Dollar, or any of them. Nobody has a secret. Because the laws of prosperity and abundance are really quite simple, and they have been well known and well documented and well used for thousands and thousands of years. Focus on the inner instead of the outer. That's one of the laws. Give where you get your good. That's another one. Help other people generously and willingly. Don't be afraid of losing what you have. Don't get attached to your stuff. Surround yourself with positive, healthy, and wealthy people instead of poor, whining people. Give value no matter what you receive. I love that one. Give value no matter what you receive. Pay for everything you receive with mental and spiritual coin. And don't talk about anything that you don't want to experience more of. These things are really simple. The only difference between those who are experiencing abundance and those who aren't is how completely and consistently each one of them is following these laws. That's the only difference. Now, there are also a lot of different kinds of teachers all around us in terms of prosperity. And some of them teach us what to do, and some of them show us by their example what not to do. But we have to pay attention in order to learn. And we also have to stop arguing with the universe when it tries to teach us something through them. We do that a lot. We argue against our own growth, our own prosperity. Raymond Charles Barker, once again, my hero, once said, "Argue for your limitations and they are yours. The universe will give them to you." Now, I have a story. No monkey, no tailor, okay. If you don't know what that means, ask somebody. This is actually a true story. It's something that happened to one of my ministerial students who is no longer living in Atlanta, and he told the story on himself. He didn't mind that I used it. I had asked him at the time. One day, he went to work. He worked as a corporate person working in a high-rise in downtown Atlanta in one of the big office buildings, and he came in on MARTA, and he got off at the Five Point Station, and right after he left the Five Point Station, while he was walking to his office about five blocks away, a man approached him on the sidewalk and said he needed some money for food. And my friend, nice man, reached in his pocket, and all he had was a $10 bill. Well, just having been in class the night before, and being a good student of this teaching, he smiled at the man and he said, "Here you go." And he handed him the 10 and he walked away. And the guy was just blown away. I mean, nobody gives away $10. Now, when lunchtime came, he worked through the morning, and he headed for the elevator to go down to the street to get something to eat. And on the way down the elevator, he reaches in his back pocket and he realizes that he has left his wallet at home. Not only that, he had given the only cash that he had to the man on the street that morning. So he had no cash, no credit cards, and no ATM, ergo, no lunch, all right? And he was hungry. So he was extremely annoyed when he hit the ground floor. So he walked out of the building figuring, oh God, what am I going to do? It's going to be a long afternoon. He's looking around to find somebody he knows, so maybe he can borrow a few bucks. And a man approached him who looked like he needed badly a bath and a shave. And my friend, already in a bad mood, right as the man comes up to him, turns, looks him right in the eye, and like a crazy person says, "Don't even think about it. I'm tapped out. I'm broke. No money. I got nothing. Leave me the hell alone." And this homeless guy, this panhandler's eyes get really, really big, and he puts up his hand and he said, "Don't say that. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say you're broke. Say it's in escrow. God will get you the money." And then he claps him on the shoulder, and he walks away down the street whistling, all right? Now, my friend stared after him, thinking, here I am, this enlightened student of metaphysics, and a homeless guy has to teach me about prosperity, you know? It was a lesson he'd never forget. Now, I don't know why we all seem to take money so seriously, but we do. At least those of us who don't think we have enough of it do. Because we talk about how little we have. We talk about how much we don't have. We talk about how much other people have. And then we talk about how to get more. And you know what? That's okay. It is okay to talk about money. There's nothing wrong with it as long as we don't give our power away to it. That's what we have to be careful of. Because there are too many people in the world working for money instead of having their money work for them. Now, that may sound like something your accountant would say to you, but it is also an extremely profound spiritual principle. Because money is nothing more or less than a tool that encourages the exchange of value. That's all that money is. Now, when we talk about value, whether it's the value of our 401k, the value of our house, or our own value as an employee or an entrepreneur or whatever it happens to be, we are really just expressing an opinion. That's what value is. Everyone has an opinion about the value of things. So we are either of the opinion that we are valuable or we are of the opinion that we are valueless. In either case, whatever our opinion is, you know what? We're right. Whatever our opinion is, we are right. Because our value in the world, not to the world, but in the world, is not in how much we make or how much we accumulate or how much we spend. Our greatest value is in the strength and the clarity of the spiritual consciousness that we express in whatever part of the world we happen to be, in whatever we're doing. You know, money is great. I like money a lot. Prosperity is wonderful. It is freedom. It is fun if you do it right. And it also has its challenges, but it's not life or death. We're just talking about stuff here. And it can be really, really good stuff if we don't let the fear get in the way. But we need to stop listening to all the things that people are saying about it, especially today. Especially today. From this moment on, if you can't say anything good about the economy and how it's affecting you, don't say anything at all. Don't say anything at all. Don't let whatever is going on out there distract you from what you need to know in here. Just look at whatever it is you want to do or whatever it is you're thinking about buying and say to yourself with a smile, you know, if I really wanted to, I could afford that. Because the spiritual truth of it is, you could. You really, really could. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the words that we use when we talk about love and relationship and family. Family, got to love that one. So this week, as your homework, I invite you to pay attention to the things that you say to all the people in your life who you love, especially yourself. Especially yourself. And your affirmation for next week is, I am so in love. Let me hear you say it. I am so in love. That is the truth in your life. And that's the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's take a breath or two. Relax. Take the ideas you heard that resonated with you, and there should have been a bunch of them. Set aside the others. Set aside all the stuff we've been hearing for the past few weeks. Set aside everything that's going to be on the news shows for the foreseeable future, and recognize that is their opinion, but it's not a spiritual opinion. And this is what is our spiritual opinion. I'll say it in the first person, and you take it for yourself. I know that I am a spiritual being, and the nature of spirit is infinite abundance, infinite variety, total safety and security, and incredible creativity. That is the nature of spirit, and that is my nature right here and right now. It never changes. And as I begin to recognize this and accept it for myself, I look at the world with the fear and the confusion and the doomsday scenarios, and I begin to smile because I realize it's a game. It's a game that people are playing. They're trying to frighten one another like children playing in a haunted house. They're trying to confuse each other. They're trying to compete when all we really need to do is to recognize the abundance in the universe, to honor the value of every single person, and to honor the value of this incredible world that we've been given. If we did nothing more than that and made all of our decisions based on that respect for life, respect for abundance, and respect for the planet, everything would change. Everything would change. So I insist now on thinking only prosperous thoughts, only good thoughts, only thoughts that support me and support everyone I know. I no longer buy into the false ideas that are swirling around me. They are simply unfocused confusion. I am focused clearly on growth and expansion and abundance for myself and every person everywhere, because this is the nature of spirit and it is my nature now. I invite you in the silence now of your own heart and mind to see yourself playfully bathing in abundance, whatever that looks like to you, whether you are in a hot tub in Cozumel or being buried by $100 bills, at least up to the neck, feeling yourself being able to create whatever you want to create and to do it with great joy and great ease. see these things changing around you. And as each of us sees this, like drops of rain on a window, as each of us touches one another with a consciousness of prosperity, it expands, and that is how things change. So take these moments in silence for yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, I accept this as the truth of my being. I accept the true abundance of the universe. I accept my own prosperity. I accept the prosperity of every other person. I accept the ability to live my life with peace, love, joy, and ease. This is my truth. I accept it completely, and I release it into consciousness, knowing that this is the truth for me from this moment on, no doubt at all, and so it is.